Assalamu alaikum. This is Maliha Teaches for Muslim Health Talk. What exactly does Muslim Health Talk mean? It means nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, and nourishing our heart. And the best way of doing that is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and instilling it in our daily life. Let's get started. Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma zidni ilman. O Allah, please increase us in knowledge. So mashallah, today is the 20th day of Ramadan. We're two-thirds past Ramadan. There's only about 10 days left, mashallah. And today I will be speaking about hadith number 20. This will be the last hadith that I will put on my podcast, because I want to take the last 10 days out for myself and just seclude myself in the few hours that I have for myself and connect with my Lord. And I suggest all of you guys do the same thing. I will try to put other things on the podcast that I have recorded way in advance that you may benefit from, inshallah. But as for the hadith, I'm going to stop at 20. And then inshallah, I'll have access to the other 20, the last 20 from 21 to 40 on either on my website, muslimhealthtalk.com, or here on the podcast, Muslim Health Talk. But I have to figure out how to do that. So this is a collection of 40th hadith. And so today will be the last hadith I will be posting for now. But look out for it. Check my website, muslimhealthtalk.com. I'm also on YouTube. It's all muslimhealthtalk.com. And I hope you, inshallah, benefit from anything that I put out there. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kamal la dhanba lahu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who repents from sin is like the one who has no sin. This hadith is narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So this hadith refers to the one who repents sincerely, not when we just say astaghfirullah. We don't really mean it in our heart, right? We need to say it and realize what our words mean, right? Ya Allah, please forgive me. I ask for your forgiveness. And so someone who sincerely says it and means it, I've messed up and I'll try not to do it again, right? Like someone who sincerely is sorry. The similarity between the two is in terms of accountability. Just as the person who did not commit the sin or any sin does not have to give account for their sin, the one who repents after committing a sin will no longer have to give an account for that sin he repented as well. And if we want to know who is better of the two, of course, there is no difference of an opinion among the scholars. The superior one is the one who did not sin at all, right? Not the one who sinned and then asked for forgiveness. It is the one who has not sinned, who did not commit the sin, since his state is closer to the prophets and the angels, peace be upon all of them. And Allah knows best. So the one who repents from a sin, who asks for forgiveness, is just like the one who did not sin, which means that the person who has sinned has to go through a few steps of what we call tawbah, of asking for forgiveness, right? There are four steps to this. First of all, if it's a sin that we continuously commit, I guess we can say something like backbiting or lying or cursing. You know, these are all sins. If we continuously have done it, or if we've done it, it's become a habit, then the first thing we need to do with this bad habit is that we need to stop it, right? We need to put a stop to it and not do it again. And then the second thing is that we need to, well, I think even before we stop it, we need to realize that it is a sin. And then we need to stop the sin and not do it again and realize that it's not something pleasant. It's not something that's going to get the pleasure of Allah. And then in that process, we feel ashamed. Right? We feel ashamed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we know that He's watching us. He knows everything that we are doing, everything that we're thinking, we're feeling, saying, hiding from the world. He knows that. There was a story of this student who the scholar told him, he had four students and he gave all four of them a bird. And he said, take this bird to a place where you can kill the bird and Allah will not be able to see you. And so many of the students, of course, took it. One went inside of a closet, one went somewhere outside of his home, you know, anywhere and everywhere that he could, and he disposed of that bird. And then the one student said, you know, he came and everyone was laughing and he said, oh, you couldn't even finish an assignment. This is what our teacher asked you to do and you couldn't even do it. And the teacher asked, why couldn't you do the assignment? And he said, there is no place that I could dispose or kill this animal where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot see me. So he had that natural consciousness in his self, right? And we all have that as well, but we have it more when we're young, right? And we need to, as we are older, kind of hold ourselves accountable and really be true to ourselves and say and want good for ourselves, right? And realize that certain things, acts that we do, change us for the worse if we continue to do them. And be honest and say, yeah, this is not something okay. I need to stop. I have certain shortcomings I need to fix, right? So number two, we have to feel ashamed. And when we feel ashamed, that is when we decide to ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We decide to make tawbah. We decide to take a moment and reflect on our actions and realize that they're not the best of actions and ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that after every prayer, we sit and we make dhikr, right? We say 33 times, alhamdulillah, 34 times, subhanallah and alhamdulillah, and then Allahu Akbar 34 times. But we could also add astaghfirullah, right? We could add like 50 or 100 or whatever, because throughout the day we actually sin and we don't even realize it. And maybe we say something mean to someone, maybe we hurt someone's feelings and we didn't even realize it, or maybe we took someone's rights and we didn't even realize it, or we didn't actually hold ourselves accountable. So asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times every day, astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me, sincerely, is probably a really good habit to implement. Really easy too. You can do it anywhere. No one even has to hear you saying it. But sometimes it helps even more when you actually sit and you kind of what people do when they meditate and focus and say astaghfirullah and hear yourself saying that astaghfirullah. There's a reason why we say astaghfirullah and that gha sounds like someone is choking you, right? And I feel like it's because we need to ask for forgiveness before we're choked and we're done, we're gone, we can't ask for forgiveness anymore, right? So we ask for tawbah, we ask for forgiveness. And if we haven't committed this sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we've committed against another human being, or maybe if we've committed the sin and it also includes another human being, we should also ask for forgiveness from that person. So we first ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, but if it's a sin that has harmed another human being, then we should ask them for forgiveness. And like last time when we spoke and we said that sometimes if we tell someone that we were talking, when we were speaking about them in a negative way, that might, exposing that to them might actually ruin our relationship even more with that person, then we don't do that. We continue and we become a better person towards them. We interact with them in a more kinder and gentler way. And instead, for that sin that we've committed in the past, we do a good act. So the Prophet ﷺ has told us that giving gifts to friends brings the hearts together. And this is really true. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter whether you're close to, you know, whether you used to be close to them and now you're in a not such a great situation, or it's someone you don't even know. If you give someone a gift, your hearts are softened towards one another. An easy thing is like if you move into a new community or a new neighborhood, the easiest way to meet people and get to know them and become a little bit more closer to them is through giving them gifts. And we as Muslims in all different cultures are very used to sharing our food, alhamdulillah. And food brings people together. It doesn't have to be something that you purchase. It doesn't have to be personalized. It could be food, right? It could be sharing, cookies that you've made. It could be a smile. It could be saying salams. So a gift comes in many different packages. The other day, I was walking through my garden and I saw lots of roses just blooming and blossoming. And I thought, it'll be a shame when these roses, in a couple of days, or maybe not, maybe in a couple of weeks, they just wither away and they fall. The petals just fall down. Why not, before they've totally opened up, the petals, why not trim them, cut them right now, put them in a vase and give it to a neighbor of mine who is very sweet, or even if they weren't sweet, right? So I quickly trimmed them, put them in a beautiful vase, and I took them over to her, and she was like, "What is this for?" And I said, "Nothing, just the fact that you're the sweetest neighbor, and I'm so glad that I know you." And it just made her day. Can you imagine someone bringing you a bouquet of roses for no reason, right? So little acts of kindness bring people together, and that is how we can gain their forgiveness. And if we can't do that in that sense, then and our relationship is a little bit even worse off, that we can't even give them a gift, then we make dua for them. We recite some Quran for them and hope that they will take that instead of holding us account on the Day of Judgment for having done something wrong. So they take that Quran that we've read, that dua that we made for them, instead of demanding our good deeds for the wrong that we've done for them. I hope that makes sense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for our sins when we ask for forgiveness. And what He does is amazing. What He does is He makes His angels erase the sin from their book. So we have two angels on the right and the left. And the left side of our shoulder, there's an angel where he writes all the bad and sins that we have done, right? And so when we ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah tells His angel, erase it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that it be erased from His memory, from the angel's memory as well. Because not only do they have a book of accounts, but they also remember and they can testify against us, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the earth to erase it and forget that it ever happened, because the earth is also a witness. Everything around us will be a witness for the good or the bad that we've done. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands our body parts to forget the sin. Otherwise, our body parts speak against us on the day of judgment, right? So our body, every part of it, worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doesn't want to go against Him, but we choose to use our tongue the wrong way and say bad things. But our tongue will speak against us and say, I didn't want to say those bad things, but this person made me do it. Or our eyes will speak against us, la qadr Allah, and say, I didn't want to watch that thing on TV, but this person made me watch it. So when we ask forgiveness, and this usually happens if we do it within a certain span of time, and I don't know exactly what that is, but basically during the day. So if you've sinned during the day, before you go to bed, you need to ask for forgiveness. And when you ask for forgiveness for that sin, then these four things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do. He will erase it from the angel's book, the angel's memory, the earth that witnessed that sin, and from our memory, our body parts memory. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things, then there will be absolutely no reminder of that sin anywhere. Subhanallah. So that's what we were aiming towards, right? We want that. Because then the hadith becomes true for us. The one who repents from a sin is like the one who never sinned at all. But on the other hand, if we don't ask forgiveness and we wait for tomorrow or we wait for another year, we're not guaranteed that we will be like the one who didn't sin. Maybe the angels erased it and there's the earth that has witnessed it. And like I said, sometimes we forget that we've sinned during the day. Sometimes we forget that we've hurt someone's feeling or we've done something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be pleased with. Because we're humans, we forget. That's what we do. So a good small habit to instill is that when we make tawbah, we can and ask for forgiveness and say astaghfirullah, we can do it before we go to bed, right? After Isha prayer. We can do it when we wake up for tahajjud. And in this moment we are in a private setting where we can show our emotions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we can cry, where we can beg for forgiveness when we're in sajda, because that is the position that Allah loves the most, right? When we are in prostration. And we can cry because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see that. He wants to see, not, oh, astaghfirullah, whatever, you know, in a simple, very monotonic voice. He wants to see that we really, truly are sorry. And that when we go through these emotions of crying to our Lord, of in the beginning, if we are not used to crying, faking it until you make it. This softens our heart. This brings us closer to our Lord. And these are little simple things we can do to gain His pleasure. But we have to make an effort and start doing them. So this hadith is very simple and straightforward. But when you really think about it, there's so much in it that we can learn from and we can start to implement, right? So I hope you guys take these steps and maybe even write down for yourself what process, what steps you need to add in between these steps that will make you first admit that you sin, right? There are many of us that are in denial when it comes to committing a sin or when it comes to doing wrong against someone. And it's our arrogance and our nafs that will not allow us to see it. So sitting down and making a list and realizing that there are things that I need to change, that I need to improve, would really help, right? So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you immensely in this month of Ramadan. In the last 10 days, those last 10 days that we're approaching is a time that you should take just for yourself to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people just kind of seclude themselves. Not the entire day, because we all have lives and we work and we have to go to school. But the few hours that they have to themselves, they don't share these last 10 days. These few hours in the last 10 days, they don't share them. They become selfish, and that's good, because these are the last 10 days and they're so important, because you can witness Laylatul Qadr. You know, you can witness blessings and du'as are accepted in these last 10 days even more than the first 20 days. So, and then Ramadan is almost over. And so you want to hold on to the last few days of blessing. And so inshallah, make an effort, right? Have a corner, have an area for yourself where you make ibadah every day. You take the moment and you sit down and you connect with your Lord. Because when Ramadan leaves, then we realize the sweetness, the miracle, the blessing that has gone. So while it's here, make sure you have time. It could be anything. Make sure you set some sort of time every single day to gain the blessing of Ramadan before it leaves until a following year. And we don't know. There's no guarantee if we will witness Ramadan next year. So may Allah bless you and shower you with His mercy and His love and His forgiveness and His safety from the hellfire in these last 10 days. Ameen. Thank you for joining me, Maliha Teaches, for Muslim Health Talk. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and so much more. All of our links can be found on Linktree Muslim Health Talk. Assalamu alaikum.